looking around for any nest in which she could lay her first one. She searched and she searched, but she wasn't very expert at it. And eventually, after a morning of failure, she sat herself down on the branch of a tree and rested. But while she was there, she heard the sound of sobbing down below. She could hear two voices murmuring, and she bent her head down to see if she could hear what they said.
"I can't stand it, Mrs. Blackbird. I really can't cope with it for another year."
"Oh, my dear, hopefully the cuckoos will miss you this time." Frilly looked down through the foliage and saw there was a Mrs. Blackbird comforting a little robin.
"Yes, but what if it finds my nest again and I have to bring up a cuckoo instead of my own bairns?"
"Oh dear," said Mrs. Blackbird,
"they're nothing but parasites, that's all they are,"
said Robin, and she burst into floods of tears again. Frilly flew up into the air, her ears resounding with that word.
"Parasite! Parasite! Am I a parasite? I'm not a bird, I'm a parasite."
She'd never thought of cuckoos like this before, but as she flew, she became more and more sad at the thought of a robin having to look after her baby instead of her own. And she burst into tears. She was crying so much she did not notice the crow coming in the opposite direction. Boing! With a splutter of feathers, they both twirled down to the ground with a bump. Cuckoo shook her head. The crow looked up and said, "I am my guest, a cuckoo of all things." Frilly turned round and suddenly Crow saw that Cuckoo's eyes were full of tears.
"Oh, machte me lassie, what's up with you?" "Oh," said Frilly, "I'm so upset. I've just heard a robin saying I'm a parasite and not a real bird, and it's really upset me."
"Oh," says Crow, "aye, well, you are. You can't make your own nest, or man. Nobody's shown me how. I could try, couldn't I?"
"Well," says Crow, "if that's the way you feel, I'll easy help you, lassie.
Would you?"
"Aye. Ach, a nest doesn't take long at all. You wait and see. You have to do what you're dealt, though."
"Aye, I will, says Frilly.
Well, there and then, Crow set about telling Frilly how to make a nest. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a crow's nest. It's not the neatest of affairs, just made of sticks, and it looks pretty well thrown together. And by the end of the day, that's exactly what Frilly had, a kind of nest. Other birds in the wood had taken notice, and they'd all gathered round to watch the stupendous sight of a cuckoo building a nest.
No pressure now, says Crow. Get a wee try, Frilly.
All right, said Frilly, and very excited, her heart beating wildly, she jumped up onto the edge of the nest and sat down. Now, Frilly was no expert, as I say, and Crow wasn't an expert teacher. And as Frilly settled herself in, there was an ominous crack, and suddenly Crow shouted,
"Oh, Frilly, watch out!"
As the base of the nest disintegrated, Frilly found herself flying down, and landing with another bump. You should have heard the raucous laughing. The birds round about thought this was hilarious, and Frilly was so embarrassed. Crow flapped down beside her.
"Lassie, I'm awful sorry. I'm nae the best teacher, obviously. I'm a wanoo."
And he patted her with his wing, and off he went. Frilly flew up into a tree, utterly exhausted, covered her face with her wing, and went to sleep. When she woke in the morning, not only did she feel devastated, she was very hungry as well, and she found herself weeping and weeping, until a voice from down below shouted,
"Oi, will you stop the rain? I'm getting soaked down here."
And Frilly peered down through blurred eyes and saw there below her was a woodpecker. The woodpecker flew up and says,
"Oh, it's you.
I saw you trying to build your nest yesterday. Shame. Didn't work, did it?"
"No," was it?
Nah, dinna start that crying again. Listen, lassie, I've been making a wee hole just down below for my nest, but I can easy mak another one. Why don't you tuck this nest? What, you give me your nest? I no bother at all. Anything to help you out. If you're wanting to change your ways, then I'm glad to give you a hand. Well, all right, says Frilly, cheering up. She flew down to the branch below, and sure enough, there was a hole in the tree. Now, the hole goes down the way. In you go, lass. Frilly poked her head in, and sure enough, the nest delved deep down into the tree, and she wriggled her way in until, to her horror, she found that she was stuck.
Woodpecker, she said. I can't get down and I can't get up. I think I'm stuck.
Oh dear, said Woodpecker. You're too big for the nest. Oh, listen, I'll have to pull you out. Now this could hurt a wee bit, eh?
All right, said Frilly.
Woodpecker's beak is a very strong beak. And he howked with the tail feathers and pulled her up, up, up. And Frilly was yelping and screaming. But eventually, Woodpecker got her out, minus three of her beautiful tail feathers. Oh, it stung, but she tried to be very brave.
Thank you, Woodpecker. That was very kind of you. I think I'll just awanu.
And off Frilly flew to another tree. She couldn't stop the tears. Her tail was hurting. She was hungry. And she felt such a failure. She heard a rustle. And there, suddenly, beside her, was Mrs. Blackbird. Hello, lassie.
Hello. Have you come to laugh?
No. I've seen how much trouble you've had and how hard you're trying. I think you need some breakfast. Come with me. Mrs. Blackbird flew off and Frilly followed. Mrs. Blackbird dived into a holly bush, and with great care, Frilly followed after. And there, right in the middle of the holly bush, was a beautifully woven nest with three little babies in it, with their beaks wide open, showing the yellow. Hang on a wee minute, Mrs. Blackbird. And she fed the chicks. 1, 2, 3. Now, she said, I think you need some breakfast. Look, come down, we'll get some worms. Well, they flew down, got some worms, and it wasn't long before Frilly was feeling much better. Now, said Mrs. Blackbird, I've spoken to my husband, and although it means a lot more work on him, he's agreed to let me help you build a nest. Oh, no, Mrs. Blackbird, I don't think I could face doing that again. I don't mean a nest like Crow. Did you see my nest? I did, it's beautiful. Well, I'm going to show you how you can do that with grass and mud and moss. A nice strong nest.
Oh, well, do you think I could?
I know you could. It's just going to take a bit of time, though.
And will it be big enough for me?
Well, make sure it's bigger than my nest. You'll use your wings to make sure it is.
All right, then. I will.
That day they gathered grass and Mrs. Blackbird showed how to weave the grass in with mud and use Frilly's wing to make sure it was nice and rounded and smooth and that it would be just the right size for her. It was hard work and it took 3 whole days before that nest was complete. But at the end of it, the snug nest looked beautiful. Now, said Mrs. Blackbird, you can lay your eggs, but remember, once you've laid enough, you must sit on them to keep them cosy, otherwise they'll not hatch. All right, said Frilly. And you know, the very next day, she laid one, following day, she laid another, and the third day, she laid a third. And after that, she thought the nest was full enough, and so she sat tight on her nest. It felt very strange. She'd never done this before, but it was very exciting at the same time. She only flew off to get food and then flew right back. She was very, very good at keeping them cosy. And one day,
took quite a long time, she heard a crack, and then another crack, and then another crack. And she looked down underneath her breast feathers. Well, you could hear the scream all the way through the wood. Mrs. Blackbird! Mrs. Blackbird in the holly bush not far away flooded up. What is wrong, my dear?
I've given birth to aliens. Look.
Mrs. Blackbird looked down. There were three little chicks in the nest. Not one feather between them. As bald as you like and no eyes to be seen.
They're horrible.
They're your babies, said Mrs. Blackbird laughing. You start feeding them and they'll soon have their feathers. Oh, right, now off you go. Go and get some caterpillars, quick. Sure enough, the little bird's beaks were opening wide. And off flew Frilly to get her first food for her bairns. My goodness, was it hard work. They never seemed to stop eating. It was on the second day she got an awful fright. She came back to find the youngest one hanging out over the nest. Oh my goodness, she said, and she helped the little lassie back in. You shouldn't try and fly already.
No, Mummy, said the wee voice.
Off she flew again, but when she came back, there was Estelle hanging out over the nest again.
Lassie, stop, it's not my fault.
Thought Frilly. She flew up the tree to watch what was going to happen. As soon as she was out of sight, Engelbert, the oldest one, put his head down and in true cuckoo fashion tried to push his sister out of the nest. Frilly flew down in an awful rage. Engelbert, she said.
Yes, Mum.
You must not push your sister out the nest.
But that's what I feel like doing.
I'm sure it is. That's what cuckoos have always done. But from now on, you are not going to do that. You're going to take care of your brother and your sister. Said Engelbert. Said Mum. Said Engelbert. Mum flew up the tree again and watched. Sure enough, Engelbert's head went back down and he tried to push his sister out yet again. Frilly flew down and this time she let rip. Engelbert, if you do not behave yourself, I am not going to feed you any more worms. Well, that got his attention. All right, Mummy, he said sulkily. But it was breaking with tradition, and it took him a while to get used to the idea, and he went without a few meals, I can tell you. But eventually, all three chicks were growing up with beautiful feathers until they looked just like their mum, and they were jostling for room in that nest. Mrs. Blackbird came up to give advice. Now it's time to help them fly. Right, said Frilly. And you know, it wasn't long before the three babies were flying through the trees and beginning to feed themselves. And Frilly, said Engelbert, Egbert and Estelle, you are now a new strain of cuckoo, and I hope that you will decide to build your own nest and look after your own eggs instead of making another bird look after them for you. But it was up to those cuckoos to decide. So if you are going through the woods and you suddenly find a cuckoo that's built its own nest, you will know that Frilly's children have indeed followed in her claw steps and become a new strain of cuckoo.